Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the program. Today is Thursday, August 5th, 2021. We are rapidly heading towards the fall season. Can't believe just how incredibly fast this summer has flown by. Today on the Thursday edition of The Cross in the Desert, I want to focus in on a vital biblical topic for all of us. And for the next 11 weeks, I'm going to be teaching the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. This is God's holy law. Now, I want us to understand the context for the reason why I'm doing this. I believe in our society today, with the recklessness, the relativism, the disregard for any kind of absolutes, is that the importance of God's word and God's law needs to be emphasized to bring our ship in the storm back to calmness, to put the anchor in the water and anchor us in truth so that we can survive the absolute reckless abandon of ethics and morals in our society. Another thing I want to point out that's very important, I am in no means suggesting that a non-Christian can gain favor or live up to God's standards and obey the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not given to save us, not to put us into a right relationship with God through Christ. Actually, when we look at our lifestyle and compare it against God's standard, we utterly fail. We are miserable. We can't live up to it. But the Christian who has received God's free gift of grace and pardon by his Spirit lives his life in accordance with these commandments. Imperfectly, but it's the guiding principle to identify us as Christians in a society of lawlessness. So while we cannot be saved through obedience to the Ten Commandments, because the law reveals our utter depravity and points us to Christ, nevertheless, these ten words, these Ten Commandments are God's holy law, and we need guidance and direction in our society. We need to turn away from the lawlessness, as I mentioned, and the relativism. Well, exactly what is the Ten Commandments? Well, we've all seen the great movie by Cecil B. DeMille, The Ten Commandments and Moses. We're familiar with that. But let's just take a quick review of what Exodus chapter 20 reveals. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Commandment number 2, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Excuse me. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Commandment number 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Commandment number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Commandment number 5, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Commandment number 6, you shall not murder. Commandment number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Commandment number 8, you shall not steal. Commandment number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And 10, you shall not cover your neighbor's house or covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is in your neighbor's. Now when all the people saw the thunder and flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the holy mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood afar off and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." I want us for the next several weeks to understand the background, the teaching, the intent of God's law, what this is all about, how this affects us as a society, and how, as Christians, we are to live in obedience to that. And so I want us to go through this carefully so that there's no misunderstanding and so that we understand the intent of the Ten Commandments and how they can rescue our society from the relativism and the anarchy and the lawlessness. They've been removed from the schools. You can't really discuss them in the schools or place them on the wall of the schools. So we have turned our fists against God. We have rebelled for so long. And that's why I want us to come back to see that the Ten Commandments is not bondage. It is the law of perfect freedom, as Michael Horton, the great Christian author and theologian, wrote in his book. So let's look carefully at the Ten Commandments. Well, just reading Exodus, it's really the most famous section in all of the Bible, but oddly enough, really, they've never been called the Ten Commandments. The Hebrew expression that occurs 3 times here literally means 10 words. So what does the commandments reveal to us? They show us who God is. The law is an expression of his heart and character. And before we rebel and say, "I don't care about laws," we need to think about what this is. It's not about so much do's and don'ts. The commandments shows us what God wants. They show us what God is like. They say something about his honor, his worth, his majesty. They tell you and me what matters to God. And when we look at the commandments as Christians, we have to understand that God has called us a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And they set us apart from the rest of the world. We aren't like the people of the world. We are God's people. We are set apart to live God's way. So when you look at these commands, that is God's prescription for our lifestyle. And once again, they don't strip our freedom. That's the misconception that most of us have when we read the Ten Commandments. Constraining. It's restrictive. But look at what it means. God wants us to have abundant life. He wants us to have true freedom. His laws, according to 1 John 5:3, are not burdensome. The Ten Commandments aren't instructions on how to get out of Egypt. They are rules for a free people to stay free. Remember, the Hebrews were in bondage to a polytheistic system of religion and ethics in Egypt. And when God freed them from their slavery and called them to the promised land, he once again reiterated who he was and what his character was. And there you have in Exodus 20, the re-giving, if you will, of the law of God. God isn't trying to crush you and me with red tape and regulations. The Ten Commandments aren't prison bars, but traffic laws. Think of them that way. The world would be a better place without any traffic laws? No, not really. A few of us drive that way, but think about it. It is to keep us in safety. It is to help us to be free and to stay free. And most importantly, what I want to point out is the commandments were not given so that we would earn our salvation. Some non-Christians view Christianity as God has rules. Well, if I follow the rules, God will love and save me, right? That's not really what's happening here at all. The Israelites, and like I said, were an oppressed people. God said, I heard your cry. I will save you because I love you. And when you are saved, free, and forgiven, I'm going to give you a new way of life. Think of it that way. Salvation isn't the reward for obedience. Salvation is the reason for obedience. Jesus doesn't say, if you obey my commandments, I will love you. What does he do? He first washes the feet of the disciples and shows them what humility looks like. And then he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. All of our doing is only because what he has first done for us. Now, another thing we need to know about these Ten Commandments, they are more trustworthy than our intuition or cultural code. You know, in this age, right and wrong is what you decide for yourself, says the world. And yet these same people rebuke others for violating any number of assumed commands. So as a culture, we may be quite free and liberal when it comes to sex, but we can be absolutely fundamentalist when it comes to the moral claims of the sexual revolution. The old swear words may not scandal us any longer, but now there are other words, offensive slurs and insults, that will quickly put someone out of polite company. So we're still a society without a moral code. But the Bible says this very clearly, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The way to find moral instruction isn't by listening to your gut, but by listening to God. If we want to know right from wrong, if we want to know how to live the good life, if we want to know how to live in a way that blesses our friends and neighbors, we'd be wise to do things God's way, which means paying careful attention to these 10 words, our 10 commandments. Now, the church has historically put the 10 commandments at the center of their teaching ministry, especially, you know, for children, new believers. So for centuries, instruction was based on three things: the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and the Ten Commandments. And so when people ask, how do we do discipleship? How do we teach our kids about the Bible? What do new Christians need to know about Christianity? The answers to those questions always included an emphasis on the Ten Commandments. Now, another thing that the commandments help us with is to understand the rest of Old Testament law. So while it's true that the Bible doesn't say to print the Ten Commandments in boldface, we shouldn't undersell their special stature than ancient Israel. They came from God as he spoke to the people face to face. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And they came from Mount Sinai amid fire, cloud, thick darkness, and a loud voice. Exodus 20, as I read to you, marks a literal and spiritual high point in the life of Israel. It's no wonder the tablets of law, along with the manna and Aaron's staff, inside the Ark of the Covenant. So there's more laws in the Old Testament, but these 10 are foundational for everything else. Think of it this way. The 10 commandments, they're like the constitution for Israel, and what follows are the regulatory statutes. When we look at the 10 commandments, they are central to the ethics of the New Testament. Remember the occasion when Jesus confronted the rich young ruler? And the rich young ruler comes up to Jesus. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus knows his heart. He's trying to earn his salvation. He believes he's kept all of these commandments, so Jesus is going to test him. He says, you know the commandments. And then he lists the second table of law, those commandments that have to do with our neighbor. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud, honor your father and mother. That's his answer to the rich young ruler. So, again, we need to understand is that Jesus is not setting out a path to earn eternal life. We know from this story that Jesus is setting the young man up for a fall, because the one command he obviously hasn't obeyed is the one that Jesus skips. Do not covet. That's his problem. And so he really tests this rich young ruler in his obedience, and he falls short of it because the commands show us our sinfulness and show us a need for our Savior. And if we have the false security that we've kept them and we've been obedient and now where's my eternal life, Jesus is going to say, nope, you misunderstand the intent of the law. You fall short of it. Because riches are your God. Possessions is your God. And this is the fault of the rich young ruler. Now, another thing we need to know is that when we look at the Old Testament and we see the giving of the law, or the 10 words or 10 commandments, we tend to, as Christians, kind of compartmentalize it and say, well, that's the Old Testament. And we kind of brush it aside. Oh, that was given to the children of Israel. That really doesn't pertain to us. Well, that's completely wrong. No, we have to understand we do not keep these commands fully or perfectly. They show us our sin, and they lead us to the cross. But even though that's true, the commands also show us how to live. The way to live, how to love our neighbor, the way to love God with all of our heart and soul. So we still need these 10 words that were handed down at Sinai. They will transform our living and our lives. And, of course, we can't keep these commands except through the power of the Spirit, through Christ. And as we look at the greatness of God, these commands remind us of who God is, what it is he's revealed to us about his character, and how we should live. And if we want to love Christ, we will keep these commands, however imperfectly. They should be the guiding principle of our life. I want to give credit to what I've just read to you. It's from Kevin DeYoung, 10 Things You Should Know About the Ten Commandments, from his book, The Ten Commandments, What They Mean, Why They Matter, and Why We Should Obey Them, published by Crossway, a great article to enrich our understanding of our study. So I hope for the next several weeks you will make Thursday, this half hour, the most important half hour of your day, because we're going to learn about God's character, his holy law, and his remedy for a lawless, rebellious society. And also, most importantly, though, how this will shape our walk with the Lord as Christians, how this will inform the way we live. So I hope that you will join me in the next several Thursdays as we take each commandment and explain them and talk about them and how they can apply to our society and to our life. Right now, I want us to think about God's greatness as we've listened to the teaching on the Ten Commandments. This is a song by Chris Tomlin called Almighty.
You have no rival, you stand alone. The heavens worship before your throne. There is no one like you. You have no equal. Your kingdom reigns. Yours is the highest of every name. There is no one like you. Almighty, we're standing in the presence of your majesty. Your holy.
That is the extraordinary, beautiful worship music of Chris Tomlin and Almighty. When we look at the 10 words of the 10 commandments, we see something of the greatness and the majesty of God. And these words, these commands cut to the heart. I have looked at several of these commands, very convicting, because I know that my lifestyle and my struggle to live in a way that's pleasing to God, it falls short. But I don't look to the commands as a means of salvation. I look to Christ and all that he did for me at the cross. And as a Christian, though, I know that these commands are the guiding principle of how my life should be. As Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And we keep them imperfectly, but nonetheless, they are the guiding principle to how we should live, how we should behave in our worship to God, in the way we treat our neighbor. It comes down to that. The first and the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and your neighbor as yourself. But again, I want to emphasize this again. As you go through this study with me, I pray that your life will be revolutionized. You will see your Christian walk in a more brilliant way. But again, we need to keep our focus on Christ and the cross as the means for our salvation. We do not gain our salvation by adherence to the law, because none of us and no one has kept these commands. It is because it's God's holy character. He shows us the difference between him and us. He is infinitely powerful and great, and we are weak and sinful. And the law shows us how far short we fall from his glory, how our lives are imperfect. And we look at these commands, we go, woe is me. And then we look at the cross and we see Jesus rescuing us from our decadence of sin, from our bondage to sin. But now as a Christian, I can look at this law and say, that's the way my life should be. I want to reflect God's holy standard in my life. And so for the next week, several weeks, we're going to go through commandment number 1 all the way to 10. One commandment per week. We're going to look at it. We're going to understand it. We're going to unpack its meaning and then strive in our life to live that our life will look like what those commands say, however imperfectly, but yet we want to conform our mind and our heart and our ways to who God is. And so it's important that you join me here on Thursday, because we're going to go through this one commandment a week. I hope this teaching series will open up the Bible to you, will open up the character and the majesty of God in a way maybe that you haven't looked at before. And I hope that as we go through these teachings every week, that you will see your need to arrange your life in such a way that reflects what those commandments are saying. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful teaching series for the next several weeks as we look at these commands and we decide that this is the direction for our Christian life. This is the way I want to live in a society that hates absolutes and lives in lawlessness. I hope this will give you a hunger and a thirst of more obedience to who God is. I want to thank you for joining me today on the Cross in the Desert. Have a fantastic weekend, and I will see you again on Monday for the edition of the Cross in the Desert.